Sleeping hot? Waking up sweaty at 2 a.m.? It's not you, it's your sheets. And Care Aloha is your answer. They're the original for bamboo sheets that are naturally breathable, moisture-wicking, and luxuriously soft, designed to keep hot sleepers cool and comfortable all night long. You can feel the difference in how much cooler you sleep. Care Aloha's innovative bamboo fabric pulls heat away from your body so you fall asleep faster and stay asleep longer without cranking the AC. Improve your sleep tonight. Shop Care Aloha bamboo sheets now at carealoha.com. That's carealoha.com. Cooler sleep starts with Care Aloha.
This episode sponsored by Apollo Neuro.
Having problems getting a good night's sleep? Apollo Neuro may be the help your body needs. Apollo Neuro is a wearable designed to calm your nervous system so you can fall asleep faster and sleep deeper without medication or side effects. It works by sending gentle, silent vibrations through your wrist that signal safety to your body, like a hug for your nervous system. The result? Fewer wake-ups, deeper sleep, and mornings where you actually feel rested. It's not just a sleep tracker. Apollo actively helps you regulate your body, and Smart Vibes AI automatically personalizes the experience for sleep, calm, focus, and recovery. It's scientifically backed, with clinical trial participants gaining up to 60 minutes of sleep a night. Try it risk-free for 30 days. Visit apolloneuro.com/audio and take $99 off today.
You are listening to Feeding the Mouth That Bites You with Ashley Parrish and Jessica Pfeiffer,
a weekly podcast guide on parenting teens and launching them into the world. As always, we are joined by psychologist and author, Dr. Ken Wilgus.
Hey everyone, and welcome back. On today's episode, we will be discussing teenagers and politics.
Well, at the time of this recording, we just experienced a national election here in the U.S., and we're heading into an interesting holiday season. The time with family and friends might be a little more limited because of our COVID situations, but yeah. I can guarantee that one subject's going to come up around the table, and that's going to be politics. As much as we try to avoid it, whether it's about how to handle the economy or the environmental issues or the ever-present coronavirus, and what's going on with that, we don't agree on the best plan of action. And this goes for our teens and our college age adults who might be coming home for a long period of time.
Long time.
Over the holiday break. Yes.
That's funny, because even my little ones have been talking about the election.
And that's weird. What are they saying?
Isn't it? Who did you vote for? Who did you vote for? And they know the candidates' names.
Wow.
And it is so surprising to me. And even... I just think this election has been so different in so many ways. I was at the nail salon the other day, and the nail technician asked me who I voted for.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
And when I tell people Kanye, they look at me weird. Like, I don't know why they do that, but.
That's a good one. I might take that.
Just watch what they say.
So everybody's talking about it. Everyone. And there seems to be no holding back when it comes to this election and politics lately. And our teenagers are really talking about it. Dr. Ken, how on earth do we handle these conversations with our teens?
Well, I think it's an opportunity, really. If you take your eye off of what most parents' goal, they think is the goal of talking about politics, and look at it in another way, I think it's a good chance to demonstrate to your teenagers communication with respect. The problem is that too often, you know, we parents, what I hear from teenagers, if politics comes up, is commonly an eye rolling, oh, don't ask my dad, something about men tend to really overdo. It's a subject of speech making. And as we know, teenagers do not like speech making. And so, but a lot of parents think that's what they need to be doing, is taking this opportunity to teach you this thing that is super important. And that's not how I think parents should look at it. Talking about politics with teenagers is actually a good thing. You know, Jessica, you mentioned a lot of families will be talking about politics. A lot of families will also not be talking about politics, like as in, we told you at the door, don't go there. like, it's a radioactive topic. So if I think you should talk about it, but not to teach them stuff, but for different goals. And I think a lot of parents don't really look at it that way, because I guarantee you, if you still are trying to do this, get across your point to your kids thing, then I always quote on the podcast where I interviewed my kids, and all my kids said, A, I did speech make, even though I tell parents not to. And B, my sweet girl, oldest girl said, in my question, did my speeches at least help you? She said, I remember that you made speeches. I don't remember anything you said in your speech. That is a quote. So you're not, if you're trying to teach this important thing, you're wasting your time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think as parents, if we're honest, we kind of desperately hope that our political ideas will rub off on our kids and we can just all agree on everything.
Right.
But what if my kid is very honest about being a polar opposite view from mine, or, you know, they really make a point of it. Are they trying to do this as a way to rebel or get back at me?
Right.
How do I handle this kind of very strong opinion and this want to argue the point?
Okay. Well, this may surprise people, but I actually am concerned about our current crop of teenagers that I'm talking to, because they're not opposite enough. You know, adolescence is a time of finding out your own identity. And especially in early adolescence, one of the most common ways to know who I am is by opposing who you are. And so, number one, you know, if you've got a 15-year-old that's super conservative and you're liberal, or the other way around, you're a conservative and your 15-year-old is ridiculously liberal. Let me just remind you, a 15-year-old socialist can't really do anything. So just cool your jets. It's okay that they're talking like this, because it's not like they're about to start their own party. It is often a part of, it's a kind of an identity thing. And I've always basically expected teenagers to be the opposite of their parents. That's the way it used to be quite a bit. You know, I went to for some of my schooling, I went to the University of Texas, and Texas is a pretty conservative state. And there were tables in the mall of the Students Socialist League and, you know, all the stuff that you just knew their parents would hate. But that was part of how they were kind of finding out who they are. So number one is I wouldn't be freaked out about the political position of your kid, because it's not scary. It's not dangerous. And number two, I would look at it as, don't have to tell them this, but it's not permanent. There's a quote that is attributed to Winston Churchill, but he didn't actually say it. It's that one you may have heard. It says, if a man is not a socialist by the time he's 20, he has no heart. But if he is still a socialist by the time he's 40, he has no brain. It's like the expected progression in some ways of compassion and perhaps naivete and moving to hopefully more knowledge and therefore cynicism, whatever. The point is that it's a transitional thing, and parents need to look at it that way, because when you flip out and start trying to force them to think a certain way, you know, we already know how that works. We don't put it on the freedoms list, but you should have it in your own mind. For teenagers at your age, you can have your own thoughts, and we will not change your thoughts. Well, that may actually bother parents, but that's one of the easy freedoms, because you can't. So you don't want to stoke a fire of, I'll say this, watch my dad flip out. What's the, because you will not change their thinking. And so I used to see all the time teenagers that oppose their parents, and I'm comforted by it, because, okay, there you go. Now you're getting started, but it won't stay that way. But now I don't know about y'all, but I have, as weird as it sounds, too many kids that are politically aligned with their parents and real strong with it. And I worry that some of those kids just aren't thinking for themselves yet. And you need to practice thinking these things through for yourself, including the early stage that will be naive. It will include stuff that you're going, oh, really? Is that what you think? Let it be.
So we shouldn't remind our kids that they have zero life experience when they're telling us their opinions.
Is that a quote from one of you? Have we said
that? What do you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Wait till you pay taxes and then we'll see if you think about that.
The answer is no, you shouldn't. But how tempting is that, right? That's very tempting. And it'll be increased, and you know I'm going to bring this up, that temptation will be increased by your own personal level of fear. Mm-hmm. And politics, currently, we're more polarized than we've been, I think, in any election. Not as in conservative or liberal, but a conservative's view of a liberal and a liberal's view of a conservative. They have a great deal of dislike for each other more than ever. In the social media episode, you know, we talked about that, that part of that is actually a manufactured polarization. So it just brings up a lot of fear. And I think that's why it's hard to not throw out stuff like that, to ridicule your mm-hmm. teenager's view, when I think it's a good time for them to practice thinking for themselves.
What if what your teenager is saying about politics just really concerns you? You know, like, what in the world? Like, where did you hear that from? Like, okay. Who told you that?
Well, but, you know, that's a good point, that I think the question with a different tone is the right way to do it.
Well, that's what we're thinking in our head, you know, so how do we respond?
I think you say, wow, okay, wait a minute, where'd you get that? That's interesting. And actually try not to be challenging of it, leave the tone mm-hmm. in your head. But I think a good thing to do is to encourage them to teach you this thing they're saying. And you will often, especially with young teenagers, they will immediately shut down and be unhappy because they really can't teach what they said. So they'll mm-hmm. feel challenged, but try, you know, so even if you don't say it in a challenging way, a lot of kids will be, well, you don't care, you or something, because they can't really articulate it. So you can let that go with, okay, but I mean, if there's an article or something, I'd love to know where you heard that, because I hadn't thought about that. That's one definite way of encouraging them to think through what they're saying by showing real interest in it and asking the same question you just said, Ashley. Where'd you get that? But not in the same tone.
So oftentimes they'll respond. If they do respond, it's something very shallow and uncertain, like social media.
Absolutely, it's as we've said, that's a particular problem. That really it's a good chance to kind of focus them without getting into a fight about it on where are you getting this information. And, oh, okay, if they put it on the interwebs, it's got to be true, you know, so that they can kind of have some examination of what sources they really are thinking about. But you really have to be respectful of what they say. You don't have, respect doesn't mean agree with it, but respect that I believe that you really think that, and I'd love to change it, but I can't. And I'm not kidding. It's a good practice, because there are listeners right now, no offense, but probably men, who almost can't do this. If it's a big topic and they're super scared, those are the guys that actually kind of can't say, well, okay, where'd you get that? It'll be, you know, that guy that listens to you by going, and waiting for you to finish so he can jump in with his thing. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, a really important self-examination time. Like, why can't you listen to a very naive young person who is spouting off stuff that sadly they will realize in some time that was not smart? Why can't you be patient with that? Why do you have to teach it? Why do you have to use whatever CNN host or Fox News host bullet points that you just can't wait to throw out in the conversation? It's worth examining. Why can't you do this? It's just respecting mm-hmm. your teenager's thoughts.
So what do we do, or how do we back up if we realize that this has already become a source of frustration with our kids? What do we do to undo kind of the mess? Because we're past an election already, so we've probably said a few things we might regret. How do we back up?
Well, you should regret some of that, I hope. I mean, I hope by the way we're talking, maybe some people would recognize that, yeah, I should probably regret it. Not because I said wrong things, but mm-hmm. because I was pushing what I was saying. And so I think, it is, with teenagers, it's always helpful to apologize for appropriate stuff. You don't need to always be saying I'm sorry for everything, but I like to stun teenagers with things that I'm like, hey, I got to let you know. Remember the other week when we were arguing, I'm really sorry. I think I got pushy. And so, cause you know, you have your own thoughts and I can't change those. So those are super important opportunities to kind of clear mm-hmm. it up. You know, when a family has research shows that when a family has family members of that are liberal and conservative, like super polarized, that at Thanksgiving, their dinners tend to be 30 minutes shorter on average than families that have the same political views. It actually can interfere with, oh, and currently about 20% of Americans have reported that political differences have affected their family and personal relationships. Mm-hmm. Oh, are you kidding me? I mean, you're not going to love someone because of a political view? Yeah, that's mm-hmm. right. Well, that's just sad. So I think it is a good idea to think about making amends for being tough, but don't you go in there and say, you know, I'm sorry about what I said because, you know, it was probably a little rough, but, and then you say the same thing again, but you know, mm-hmm. I just need you to know that that's, you just really need to use that as an opportunity to show them that I mean it. Your thoughts as a young adult are your thoughts and I can't change those. And again, wink, wink, we all know in planned emancipation that that's not actually a way to have no influence. It's the first step to actually having influence by letting them know the words I'm telling you are not coming from someone who thinks that they can brainwash you. I know that they're not. And then they can listen to you much more openly than the other way around.
Okay, I have another sort of question on the same thing about family. And our teenagers have a different view than us, but we can respectfully talk about it and disagree. But we're sitting at a holiday, Christmas, Thanksgiving, and our teenagers voice their opinion, which they know they're welcome to do in our home because we've made amends. We, you know, we see each other for what we believe and what we think.
Right.
But let's say Uncle So-and-so starts in on our teenager.
Ooh, yeah.
Do we defend our teenager or do we let our teenager do that?
I think all the time, the answer is you don't, you just leave that be.
Okay.
You very often won't be appreciated for defending. But if you've got, you know, a real jerk family member, it's not bad after, if they're really beaten up on them verbally, that to step in and say, well, you know, that's fine. But yeah, I think it's important at first. You should let them practice that themselves. Mm-hmm. Plus, it's a good chance for them to see, wow, at least my mom or my dad isn't like that guy. And,
Makes you look good.
Yeah, right.
So I feel like being a Christian should change the way that we talk to our kids about politics.
Yes.
Tell me your thoughts, Dr. Ken.
Well, I think it is important. This is one of many times where there's a difference, in my opinion, between being a good parent and a Christian parent, and they don't always line up. Mm-hmm. Too often, and this is the experience I've had with talking to teenagers, too often their perception is that their parents' Christian view is actually a political platform, that they are put on the same thing. And sometimes Christians actually talk like that. And I think it's really important for Christians to recognize that politics does not determine what is morally acceptable and what is right and wrong. Politics is about power and money. So, for example, you know, our country changed significantly its definition of what marriage could be. Well, they did not say that marriage between same sex is now morally okay. That the country doesn't have the power to do that. What they did say is we're going to stop forcing, taxing, you know, making illegal certain things. Well, is that a victory or not? Again, the point is it's only politics. And I think it's really important to keep in mind that there's a kind of power base that's in the politics. And so when you're talking about our faith, I think it's very important to be careful to separate those two, that as a servant of the one true God, this is what I think we're supposed to be doing. But I'm not talking about, and we should make everybody else do that. There always has to be limits in what we're requiring people to do. So I think it should be able to be separate. You don't, you should absolutely find a Christian, someone you know that really does serve the Lord and doesn't agree with you politically. It's probably a good idea to find that person so you can at least recognize that, I've actually been quoted people that said, you voted for blank and you, how can you say you're a Christian if you, because that's only politics. So it should make that difference. And then secondly, as you can guess, I think it also should make a huge difference in fear. You know, the country is very fearful of disaster. And I can recognize that if you do not know that there is one true God and our relationship with him is guaranteed through his son, and he actually owns the White House. This is silly. And we can be calmed by it and should be calmed by it. So that's hopefully not a political statement. I mean it more as Christian parents should be different, hopefully different kind of talk from just a hyper, in our area, a hyper-conservative is sort of the norm of this, the over-talkative parent. But I'm quite certain, because I have children in New York City, for example, that there are Christians with very strong opinions that are not all conservative, and they have the same voice. It's only politics, and our faith should help us to know that the church has never been really worked well with power. It always we're always best when we're in the minority and not understood. That's where you hear more of the really powerful faith stories. It doesn't come from when we ran the world. That tends to be a mixed bag at best. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to remember that, because even if we're not having these political conversations with our teenagers are seeing and hearing.
Boy, you're right.
Way we're talking to other people.
That's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Well, this has been a hot topic in every circle lately. And I know that it has come across my kitchen table with my kids. Politics has been an issue just because that's what we're all seeing on the news. That's what we're all hearing. And I am praying for a peaceful holiday spirit with a peaceful holiday experience with my family and friends, because I love people on both sides of the table. And I hope that our listeners have gained just as much as I have from this conversation. Thanks, you guys.
Thanks for joining us today. Hit the subscribe button so you won't miss an episode. Also, leave us a review. This is how other listeners find our podcast. Follow us on Instagram at Feeding the Mouth.
We appreciate you and would love to hear from you. If you have any questions, thoughts, or ideas about what we've discussed today, please email us at podcast@feedingthemouth.com.
Sleeping hot? Waking up sweaty at 2 a.m.? It's not you, it's your sheets. And Care Aloha is your answer. They're the original for bamboo sheets that are naturally breathable, moisture-wicking, and luxuriously soft, designed to keep hot sleepers cool and comfortable all night long. You can feel the difference in how much cooler you sleep. Care Aloha's innovative bamboo fabric pulls heat away from your body so you fall asleep faster and stay asleep longer without cranking the AC. Improve your sleep tonight. Shop Care Aloha bamboo sheets now at carealoha.com. That's carealoha.com. Cooler sleep starts with Care Aloha.
This episode sponsored by Apollo Neuro. Having problems getting a good night's sleep? Apollo Neuro may be the help your body needs. Apollo Neuro is a wearable designed to calm your nervous system so you can fall asleep faster and sleep deeper without medication or side effects. It works by sending gentle, silent vibrations through your wrist that signal safety to your body, like a hug for your nervous system. The result? Fewer wake-ups, deeper sleep, and mornings where you actually feel rested. It's not just a sleep tracker. Apollo actively helps you regulate your body, and Smart Vibes AI automatically personalizes the experience for sleep, calm, focus, and recovery. It's scientifically backed, with clinical trial participants gaining up to 60 minutes of sleep a night. Try it risk-free for 30 days. Visit apolloneuro.com/audio and take $99 off today.